And we are live. Yep, change the song up again. We are live on Blog Talk Radio for another great edition of Sports Club. That makes me Jeremy the Impact York. That makes my co-host who is trying to play with the keyboard. That would be Miss Sunshine. Yeah, you can't be on the show. We talked about this. Thank you. Now, so what happens when you have a mascot here at Impact Media Studios West? But anyway, she has some really cool sports takes. She tends to like all the feline teams for some reason. But like I said, that makes me Jeremy the Impact York. That makes this Sports Club, and that means that the people of Blog Talk Radio and Impact Media allowed us to come on here today to talk about everything NFL, some other things as well, and who knows what else we'll get into. It is NFL heavy today. Just a couple other non-things. We are going to talk a little bit about the Erik Karlsson trade in the NHL because that is – you thought the Khalil Mack trade was crazy in the NFL? Yeah. The NHL just one-upped everybody. In fact, they five-upped everybody. Talk a little bit about the Humboldt Broncos and the emotional game they played last night. Just fantastic. I was able to watch part of it again a while ago. Just – thoughts and prayers and everything to those guys. Unbelievable how strong they really are. Like I said, we are NFL heavy today. So I'm going to, without further ado, get right into a lot of it. Let's talk about that Atlanta-Philadelphia game from last Thursday. As if you're watching NFL Network, you see all the guys and a gal there on the pregame about to talk some Ravens-Bengals. Who knows? I'd like to see Andy Dalton keep the Bengals in this, but I'm not – I don't know. It depends on Baltimore can actually do what they did last week. But make sure that's all pulled up. There we go. Final score of this was 18-12 as far as the Eagles-Falcons game. Just some random thoughts I had while watching this game. And I won't lie, I fell asleep during this game for a little bit, and I woke up hoping that it would get better. It didn't. Not at all. Not at all. And I'll get to my silver lining theme towards the end of this. But 18-12 from two perennial Super Bowl favorites. Yeah. Anyway, Atlanta was aggressive early, but they just could not score on a fourth down from the one-yard line on the first drive. Still issues scoring early. They did a field goal on the second drive. For some reason, the Atlanta Falcons, at least up till this point, are absolutely 100%. 100%. I'm going to say 100%. They're 100% allergic to that thing called the end zone. That thing called the goal line, whatever it is, it's like when you were a kid and you build a fort or maybe you're out on the playground and, hey, you don't want to touch the rocks. Hey, don't touch the dirt. That's lava. It's like that's basically what it seems like to me is that the Falcons players have looked and said, hey, don't touch the end zone. It's lava. You'll get burnt. Good news, Falcons fans, is none of your players will get burnt. Bad news is that means they're not scoring points. Some other things about this game. The Falcons' defense is good. I like this defense. Now, we'll talk about the fact that they lost Deion Jones for a solid bit of time. They lost some other people for a solid bit of time. Freeman seems a little dinged up as well. But Freeman Coleman, as an alternating, you know, one would play one dip, one would do the other, back and forth, back and forth. I think that's a good way to do it, to offset everybody. Both offenses were just struggling in the red zone. You're going to get some jitters early. You're going to get those kinds of things. I didn't really have a problem with a lot of that. Yeah, I mean, it being a first game, but to be the showcase game, wow. If they could redo that one. The Atlanta defensive injuries were starting to mount. There for a while, it was about every other play. Somebody was exiting. And then Atlanta fell for the Philly special. You have to know. I mean, look. Just to drive this home, slamming the notebook here. You have to know if they did it in the Super Bowl, they're going to try to do it against you too. And guess what? You fell for it just like New England did. At least New England could say, we didn't know they'd do something like that. Atlanta, you can't say that. You've seen them do it before. All it takes is for somebody to do something one time, and you can't say, gosh, I didn't think they'd do that. But they did it before, and they won a Super Bowl. So they did it against you again, and, I mean, if you look at it, 18-12, technically, that was the winning score. That was the winning score. You fell for a trick play. I mean, this is hidden ball trick in baseball. You're better than this. Basically, the momentum at the end of the third from that Philly special was all Philadelphia. They held on to it. The first touchdown in the NFL this year was scored by Jay Ajayi with 3:47 to go in the third quarter. Yeah, once again, two perennial favorites for the Super Bowl in the Eagles and in the Atlanta Falcons, and neither one of them can score an actual touchdown until almost the fourth quarter of the first game. That's almost unacceptable. Matt Ryan threw the interception early in the fourth near the goal line. I'm not going to throw anything against Matt Ryan there. Matt Ryan played a good game. Stats in front of me because I don't want to see his stats because I don't want them to derail what I'm trying to say. Matt Ryan did what he could. For some reason, he just couldn't put it in the end zone. I don't blame him. I don't blame the receivers. I'm not going to blame Sarkisian because, once again, one game. A lot of people are like, well, this is the second year. They should be better. Really? Says who? You know, this defense did get the tip interception with good field position. It ultimately led to Tevin Coleman having that touchdown run with about 10 minutes left in the game. Matt Bryan missed an extra point. It went off the upright. That's when I knew I was not going to win this game, is if Matt Bryant can't put it between the uprights. And I don't blame him either. I don't think it was a bad snap. I don't think it was a bad hold. It wasn't a bad kick. I don't think it was lack of coverage, anything like that. It just sometimes things swing in the other guy's favor. What are you going to do about it? Well, I'll tell you what the Falcons did. They lost this game. But it's one game. It's one game. As long as you don't lose seven or eight more of those, you're probably going to make the playoffs. The go-ahead touchdown and the with the final, like I said, 18-12. What a just mess of a game. Because the part I slept through, I went back and watched because I DVR these games. I'm able to go back and watch them through other feeds. I didn't miss anything. Part of me wanted to maybe go back in time and just let me sleep a little longer, because just to be the opening game, it didn't have anything in it. Nothing. This is like just you try to bake a cake and it tastes like non-sweetened cornbread or something. There's nothing wrong with non-sweetened cornbread. The problem is, if you're expecting birthday cake, cornbread's not going to do it for you. And no, I wasn't expecting birthday cake out of this game, but I was expecting, God, give me a little Debbie snack cake or something. Give me a zebra cake. Give me a Swiss cake roll. I'd take an oatmeal cream pie at this point. No, couldn't even get that. You know what we got? We got a ham sandwich. Ham sandwiches are ham sandwiches. You're expecting a snack cake, a little Debbie snack cake, and you get a ham sandwich. So we'll have to see what these two teams do as they rebound.
Are we back? Have no idea. No idea. Is that not fun? Is that not fun? Gotta love technical glitches. Absolutely gotta love.
Are we back? We are back. How about that? So, not sure exactly where that cut off. We're going to do our best to hope that that doesn't happen again. I don't know. I feel like it will. Here we go. Some other... some other tidbits from the week. Just, I don't know. The Chargers do have so much promise, and yet just they dropped so many touchdowns in that game. Who were they against? They were against the Chiefs. Yeah, 38-28, Chiefs won that one. There's no reason why it shouldn't have been like 45-38 Chargers. They dropped at least two that I saw, maybe three. Chargers receivers, you guys have got to do better because you guys are somehow a dark horse perennial favorite for the Super Bowl. And I kind of like your chances too, but you've got to play better. You're finally healthy. You need to play better. By far, the game of the weekend was Green Bay, Chicago. We got to see Khalil Mack, and the reason why you pay him that much money. We got to see Roquan Smith, and the reason why you make sure to draft that guy. Yeah, Georgia fans, I know you miss him there, but my goodness, what he's doing in Chicago is just unbelievable. You know, the Bears had the big lead. They were up like 20-3 or something like that at halftime. Aaron Rodgers was in the locker room. He took a cart to the locker room. But you had to know when he came out that something was about to happen. He scores 21 points. Packers win that 24-23. But Aaron Rodgers, he hurts his knee, off his back leg for the rest of the night. He literally never put a whole lot of weight on his front foot and threw off his back foot. That is the opposite of what any quarterback likes to do. Usually you want to plant and move forward. He just literally rocked back on his foot and chucked it and still beat you. Some of the passes he had were just outstanding. Things you can't, you just can't teach. Either you can make that throw or you can't. Ladies and gentlemen, Aaron Rodgers, he's the best quarterback in the league. I'm a Brady fan. You guys know that. I can make an argument for a couple other people. Aaron Rodgers, by far, best quarterback in the league. There you go. Pittsburgh-Cleveland end up in a 21-21 tie in a what ended up being a downpour. You can blame the weather a little bit. I blame the fact that Pittsburgh doesn't have a Le'Veon Bell game breaker. So they let Cleveland back in this game. Cleveland should have won it in overtime. Pittsburgh should have won it in overtime. And ultimately, this just proves Pittsburgh, you still got to have that extra step. And Cleveland, it's not going to be a slouch this year. This is the winningest record they've had in like 10 years. Or not 10 years, probably 3 or 4. But still, Pittsburgh, you got to be better. Cleveland, you stole that one. AP has been Adrian Peterson. AP is still AD. Supposedly that's his nickname, so a lot of people call him has been all day. He picked up enough yardage to where he is number 10 overall in rushing for yardage. He's number 7 in rush touchdowns. He passed two different people in rush touchdowns and at least one for the rush yards. Adrian Peterson can still play. Peterson can still play. Is he what he used to be? No. But is he good enough to still put up solid performances? Yeah, I believe he ended up having, can we get that stat? One of the the touchdown he scored was his 100th overall of his career. A lot of people never get to that. Can we get some stats for this game other than Alex Smith, 21 for 30, 255, two touchdowns, no interceptions. That's Alex Smith all day long. No problems there. Adrian Peterson, he had 96 yards and a touchdown. He averaged 3.7 per carry at 26 carries. He's the workhorse, guys. You don't have any fantasy league, go and get him there. But we're not here to talk fantasy. Congratulations, Adrian Peterson, for showing everybody you still got something in the tank. You got Tyreek Hill, who had like 50 bajillion different ways he tried to score. It was in that Chiefs game that I was talking about. He had three different touchdowns. I know he had one on a kickoff. I think he had one on a punt, and then he had one on like a pass or something too. It was crazy. It was a pass to Tyreek Hill. He went 58 yards for a touchdown from Pat Mahomes. Then what's the other one? Sure, he had a bunch of different ones, but Tyreek Hill, still exceptional. Still exceptional. He's so much fun to watch. He's a lot like Devin Hester. If that ball's in the air headed his direction, there's a chance it's going all the way back. The Ravens rolled over the Bills. We're going to get to see if the real Ravens show up tonight or if the Bengals are awful. Honestly, I think this should be a pretty decent game. You got the short turnaround. But they the Ravens rolled over the Bills 47-3. Josh Allen made his debut. He is now going to be the starter for the Bills because for some reason they woke up and realized he should have been the starter to start with. Fournette gets hurt, but the Jags and Bortles hold on over the Giants 20-15. I said Fournette did get dinged up a little bit. We'll have to see how that goes from there. But the Giants should have won this game, and I don't know, just couldn't pull it out. The Buccaneers win in a shootout with the Saints, 48-40. This game was it was exceptional. I enjoyed watching these two teams go back and forth. It was kind of interesting. It was kind of like a college game because nobody was really playing defense. They were trying to, but just couldn't do anything with it. And for Ryan Fitzpatrick's efforts this week, not only does he get the win, he was the FedEx air and ground winner. He was the air winner this week for his outstanding performance. Fitzpatrick can still play. I don't care what people say. If he's still playing like this when Winston comes back, I gotta consider keeping him in. Third Cutter, you want to keep your job? I think you gotta try to win football games and not worry about if Jameis Winston plays in the game. The Patriots cruise over Houston 27-20. That score is a lot closer than it really was. Patriots just literally toyed with them the whole time. It's not that they're that much better. It's just Houston couldn't get anything going, and the Patriots were making sure they knew it. Some of the big injuries that happened, Marcus Mariota got hurt. It was his elbow. Blaine Gabbert came in there. We'll have to see if that's going to be anything permanent going forward. You got Doug Baldwin dinged up his knee. He's going to be kind of hit or miss for a couple weeks. Taylor Lewan also got hurt for the Titans. They got to have that guy back in as soon as they can. But there was some pretty decent injuries. So, like I said, it looks like Aaron Rodgers may play this week. We'll have to see. Let's see. What else was there? Pretty much, if you were a Super Bowl favorite, you didn't necessarily have a good week one. I mean, let's go through here. Falcons. A lot of people think the Falcons have a chance to play the home game in the dome or in the new field, right? Yeah, they lost. The Eagles, even though they won, you could call that winning. They had more points than the other team, but as sloppy and ugly as they looked, that wasn't the best in the world. Some people have the Ravens. The Ravens had a really good week. You got the Steelers. The Steelers tied because they couldn't finish them off. This is like a split decision in boxing because you can't knock the guy out. And you're the favorite. Come on, you're Mike Tyson in this scenario here, Steelers, and you can't knock the guy out. But Steelers, not the world's best week. James Conner, shout out to him. Had a pretty good day, making it a little harder for Le'Veon Bell to use leverage. As far as other favorites here, the Vikings, I mean, they dominated the 49ers and won 24-16, but they didn't – I mean, just because it's Jimmy G's first loss as a starter, so what? That's the 49ers have got to button some stuff up. Vikings were kind of sloppy too, but they hung on to one. The Patriots look really good as far as a Super Bowl favorite. Houston, they're okay. Yeah, they scored 20 points, but okay. They got some stuff to work on. The Saints lose in a shootout to the Buccaneers. Yeah, the Buccaneers shouldn't hang 48 on anybody. The Buccaneers could face a local high school team, and they shouldn't put 48 points on the board. So, Saints, you got to find a defense again. Maybe that one like you had last year. Some people have the Jags or Giants going. Based off that week one performance, I wouldn't put either one of them there. Chargers dropped too many passes and touchdowns, can't get it done. We won't even get into that game. I mean, the Packers, they're the same Packers team that they always are. As far as if number 12 is on the field, they have a chance. Rams, Raiders, it is exactly what we thought it would be. It would be kind of close early, and then the Rams realize, oh, wait, we're really, 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 really better than that team over there who is a torrential dumpster fire. Yeah. I'm not going to say they're tanking, but between the performance of Oakland and the Bills and a couple other teams this week, it's like they're already competing for that draft spot. Now, I don't necessarily think they are, but at the same time, it's just, wow, yeah. But like I said, outside of like the Patriots, all the other perennial Super Bowl picks just didn't have a good week. Like I said, the Matt Roquan Smith, that was an incredible debut. Because Roquan Smith only came in because there was an injury. And he comes in, and Mac causes a double team, and Roquan Smith comes in on the very first play he's in and hammers the quarterback. Just hammers him. But, yeah, just overall, though, as far as the starting week, yeah, as we see the Red Rifle warming up there, Bengals fans going crazy. It's an exciting time. Bengals, you guys are still in this. I mean, especially when I just said the two teams in your division tied each other. That's like spotting you half a game in the standings. If you can somehow find a win here against the Ravens, yeah, these are the other two teams in that division. If you could beat the Ravens here, oh, you're sitting pretty. You're sitting pretty this early. I'll do the picks a little later on, just in case one of the guys happen to call in. If not, I'll get to them here in a minute. A couple things I wanted to get to. I didn't talk about the Jets and Sam Darnold dropped the hammer on the Lions, who looked very pedestrian on Monday Night Football, nonetheless, 48-17. Matt Stafford threw four or five interceptions. I don't know. I lost count. I think he lost count. Apparently, at some point, Matt Stafford believed that the Jets defense just didn't get enough practice catching the ball, so he decided to take it upon himself to throw it there. Sam Darnold, though, I'm not going to say he was a world beater. I'm not going to say he's one of the best in the league. He has the potential to be really good. Early on, haven't seen a whole lot of him as far as actual NFL tape. But the thing to keep in mind, when Sam Darnold's on the field, that's his team. That's the Jets team. The Jets are his team. Those players buy into what he's selling. Those coaching staff, that coaching staff, they buy into this is the Darnold show. And it's not to hype him up and make you feel good. He has this poise. He has this leadership. You can tell that when he gets to the huddle, 10 grown men stop doing to listen to what he's going to say. And you can think about that at your job places. Can you walk in a room and people instantly? Now, if you're a boss, I can see where maybe they might, because maybe you're going to fire them or something like that. But walk into a place, your workplace, and everybody stops to listen to what you're going to say. Probably not, right? Yeah, this kid's already got that. This kid absolutely already has that. And I'm going to talk about some of the big games here. I'm going to leave out The four games we have on the picks so far. Like I said, Ravens Bengals here in a minute. I think this should be a fun Thursday contest. You never know what's going to happen. You never know what kind of uniforms these people are going to have. But that kicks off about 8:20. Trust me, we'll be out of here in plenty of time for that. Then we get into the 1 o'clock games. You got Chargers Bills. Should be interesting. The way the Chargers look pretty good, could have been exceptional, but they continue to drop Phillip Rivers passes. And the Bills, who are now officially going to start Josh Allen, and looked awful. They looked like third-tier high school or something. I don't know. And that may be an insult to third-tier high school. They look awful. Let's see. That's the game we're going to talk about. You got the Browns and the Saints. If the Saints aren't going to play defense, I don't know if the Browns can hang 48 on them, but if the Saints' offense sputters a little bit, the sky's the limit as far as what will happen in with the Saints' offense if they can get it going. But the fact that the Browns haven't lost a game yet, that's pretty interesting. That one could be an interesting – here it is. Cleveland is their best – they're off to their best start since 2004, where they were also 0-0-1, I believe. Wow, best since 04. Yeah, they haven't won an opener in forever. They still have won one, but they didn't lose it. Yeah, Browns Saints also won, like I said. Jets Dolphins. I think the Dolphins look pretty decent. I think the fact that it was a 6-hour game and they're used to the Miami Heat, not the team, the mugginess and the weather down there, I think that helped them a lot in the 6-hour game. I still got the Jets rolling on this one. I like the Sam Darnold Jets. I like Sam Darnold. Not a super big fan yet, but the kid's growing on me. And like I said, the team buys in, which is the ultimate thing here. Got Eagles, Buccaneers. Buccaneers hung 48 on the Saints, who don't play defense. The Eagles have a defense. Eagles will probably roll that one. You got Texans, Titans. Maybe we'll finally see this defense for Houston and Deshaun Watson really break out. That's a divisional matchup. You got Colts and the Redskins. Alex Smith, Andrew Luck. A lot more talent on the Redskins, but once again, Andrew Luck is kind of like Aaron Rodgers to a point. He makes people better around him, and as long as he's healthy and on the field, there's a chance they can win. Got Cardinals, Rams. Rams should roll that one. Lions and the 49ers. 49ers the first win. Got the Raiders and the Broncos. Broncos are going to probably take that one. We're into the four o'clock games here. You got Jaguars, Patriots. I don't think this is going to be as great as people think. I think it'll be a battle for a minute. But, I mean, you know, don't be surprised if Jacksonville wins. But I still think the Patriots are probably going to take this one. Then we get into Sunday Night Football, where the Giants and Cowboys, that's at 8:20. That should be a lot of fun. And the Monday Night game we'll be talking about here in a minute. So, but yeah, that's pretty much catching up with week one and week two up to this point. Going to kind of move track real quick. So Serena Williams lost the final in the tennis tournament the other day, and kind of her composure, she kind of went after a referee, not in a physical way, but she thought she was getting cheated on some calls. I want to say she wasn't, but I mean, you know, it's your right to kind of protest, and I mean, she kind of pulled a McEnroe the way she was kind of going after it. But the girl that she lost to, was 3 months old when she made like her debut, and this girl always looked up to her and was just super excited to face her. So, yeah, I mean, it was a good battle. Did she lose a few calls here and there? Probably. But, you know, it's about time we saw Serena lose it. I mean, every competitor just reaches a point where just you're just not having a good day. You just feel like you're getting squeezed on calls, and you let somebody know about it. So I think Serena's going to be fine. I don't think you're going to see her really go after people. I just think she got frustrated and just wanted to show everybody that she was frustrated. Now, there was a – let me see if we can find the absolute thing here. It was Erik Karlsson was traded from the Ottawa Senators to the San Jose Sharks. What was he traded for? Well, let's put it this way. When Erik Karlsson got traded from Ottawa to San Jose, they are going to rename San Jose Senatorville because of what went into this trade. Let's see. The Senators for Erik Karlsson are going to get center Chris Tierney. They're going to get defenseman Dylan DeMello. They're going to get prospects Josh Norris. They're going to get Rudolph's Balser. They're going to get conditional 2019 second-round pick. They're going to get conditional 2020 first-round pick. And if San Jose re-signs Karlsson, who is entering the final year of a 7-year, $45 million contract, Ottawa receives a conditional 2021 second-round selection. The Sharks also get forward Francis Perron. Now, there's some big names in there. Chris Tierney. I mean, I've heard of Perron and DeMello. Not as familiar with Norris and Balsers. But that's a king's ransom. Now, in no way is this one-sided. No. It's pretty fair for what the Sharks are getting. But the Sharks are trying to compete with L.A., who adds Kovalchuk and who adds Peter Budaj, I think, and some of these other ones. And, you know, that's they're not only trying to keep track, they're trying to make sure that in the West that those Vegas guys don't make it again, because I think the Sharks think they should have beat them. They are not able to do that. But overall, not just is this one of the better defensemen in the league getting traded, this is putting the league on notice that you're going to have to come to their level to compete. I absolutely like what San Jose did here, and I don't mind what they gave up. I think it was a little much. It's real close. But yeah, this is San Jose going out there making a splashy statement that could actually pay off. A lot of people, including a lot of you guys, wanted to know my take on it. I really like the deal. I don't super love it, but it's because, you know, my allegiances aren't involved in it. But as far as what this does for the league and what this does for other players in the league, this is outstanding. People think the Khalil Mack trade was the biggest one in sports. Yeah. Once again, NHL just one-upped everybody because Erik Karlsson is a top five defensive player in the league. He is a bona fide leader, one of the faces of the game, and he's now getting sent from Ottawa to San Jose. So what a team they have there. Evander Kane, Logan Couture. I mean, we could go through that whole list, but definitely wanted to address that part. Especially this trade, because Borchek's still a few weeks away from the season debut there. We'll talk a little bit of hockey. But, yeah, to recap, Erik Karlsson and Francis Perron to the Sharks for, let's see, Ottawa gets Chris Tierney, Dylan DeMello, Rudolph Balser, Josh Norris, and a crap ton of draft picks. Now, last thing I want to talk about before I get into the games we picked this week. I do not have the guys' picks with me, so I will just give you my picks. Maybe we'll post them later once we get them. But I want to talk about the Humboldt Broncos. Now, we know earlier this spring,
back in April, there was a bus crash where I believe it was 16 Humboldt Broncos members. That's a hockey league, a junior hockey league in Canada, specifically. It's one of the better ones. And a lot of people around here probably heard of it, but in the hockey lure and everything, it's up in prime country up there. A lot of big players have come through those leagues. They're now the stars on the NHL. But, you know, we all knew about the unfortunate bus crash and that we lost a good handful of the team, including some trainers and medical staff and play-by-play analysts and statisticians and everything. But last night, ESPN, you know, everybody knows about ESPN's money issues there for a little bit. I think they're making some good decisions now, including this one. ESPN did a very uncharacteristic thing last night. They not only broadcasted the Humboldt Broncos season opener against the team they were actually facing in the playoffs when all that occurred, and the team that actually went on to win the championship last year. They not only broadcasted that game, not only did showed the tribute the entire game, a whole thing. There was a banner ceremony at the end where anybody in the team, and they are retiring all numbers, even current players, numbers until they're no longer with the team, to which they go in the rafters at that point, which they're all in the rafters already. But no, the impressive thing to me, and I absolutely 100% say give the ultimate congratulations and kudos to ESPN for this. Everything they showed last night, the hour pregame lead up, they had all the stories and all a lot of interviews with parents and players that survived it and new players that are there now and all the different things they did. So that whole hour, there was a 2.5 hour game. Then there was a 30-minute ceremony at the end where they did all the banners and everything like that. They did this commercial free. ESPN, who could use the advertising dollars because they're trying to kind of reboot and rebuild their system at this point. I would totally understand if they would have put commercials all in this to sell the advertising so they could use that. I wouldn't have been like, oh, here we go again. No, it would have made sense. But no, ESPN said, you know what? We're going to show everything in its entirety. We're going to stay right here for the broadcast, the game, the post, everything. We're going to go completely commercial-free. We're going to pick up the tab here, which is basically what they did. So, and it was just real emotional. I was able to rewatch some of it a minute ago as well, besides watching it last night. Even my wife came in and she's like, it's mid-September and you're watching hockey. And when I told her what I was watching, she went, oh, that's different. That's, like we see here, that's more than a game. It's about more than the game at this point. And it was just spectacular to get to see these people honor their fallen comrades and stand together with each other. It was just outstanding. Just outstanding. So, thanks to ESPN and the Humboldt community for allowing everybody in the watching audience to be a part of your community and to feel like we're helping you guys get through this. But lastly, before we get out of here, I'm gonna tell you the four games we have here. I'm going to kind of break them down. I'll give you my picks on them. And like I said, as soon as I have the picks of the other three, I will probably post those or do something with them. Good thing is we're not picking tonight's game, so I don't have to worry about that. Let's see. As we pull up, here we go. All right, let's get some music? Got some music here. There we go. All right. Gonna try to keep that going. Game number one, Minnesota at Green Bay. I think Minnesota is looking, they're not looking to hurt. There's a collarbone chance it happens incidentally, that's one thing. But no, I think very much Green Bay sees this as a chance to get back at Minnesota for basically taking their spot in the playoffs last year. Because when Aaron Rodgers is out, they were able to make it. I think you take Green Bay in this one. Or I've got Green Bay in this game. I think it's going to be really close. I think it's going to be a lot like the Bears game. We'll see Minnesota get out early. I think Kirk Cousins is going to kind of put on the laser light show to start with. And then, oh, Aaron Rodgers. As Chris Sims like to say, oh, Aaron Rodgers. He's going to make everybody who's got sick Green Bay go for it. And then you take Green Bay in the got Kansas City at Pittsburgh. I like what Kansas City did a little bit here. I didn't like so much what Pittsburgh did. Still no Le'Veon Bell. Pretty sure he's not going to play this week either. James Conner will be the running back. I don't have a problem there. We're still missing that game breaker, and hopefully, since Kansas City's defense is not quite as good as the one Pittsburgh faced last week, Big Ben decides not to throw 100 interceptions. I think you take Pittsburgh and another close nail biter there. Look at that. I'm actually picking the home teams for once. Seattle at Chicago. This wouldn't be a game except for we know Seattle's going through a transition period. And know that Chicago looked pretty good, at least in three quarters. I think question mark still on Trubisky. They're still wanting him to develop a little more. And Seattle is wanting that offense to. I think Seattle's kind of going with the Saints game plan. We're just going to try to outscore you. And hope that we can occasionally stop you on defense. It's not a bad strategy. I mean, if you score 40 points a game, you're going to win most of your games. That's what the Saints have done the last few years. But Seattle at Chicago. Give me Seattle. In this one, I'm going to take the road team. Give me Seattle. I don't think Chicago has quite the firepower. I don't think Trubisky is quite ready to beat Seattle. And Seattle will be 2-0 at that point, I believe. We're going to be Doug Baldwin. So be interested to see who they pop in there. Carolina at Atlanta is your fourth pick. I'll recap all these in a minute. Carolina at Atlanta. We saw what Carolina did this week. You can't really judge what they did because the Cowboys, they weren't ready. Say whatever you want. I'm a Cowboys fan. I'll tell you, we weren't ready. We looked awful. We scored 8 points. Carolina's got a good defense, but we scored 8 points. So Carolina's got a good defense, not sold on their offense. Atlanta is allergic to the end zone and has a pretty good defense, even though they're missing a couple of their big stars, big young stars. Give me the Atlanta Falcons to bounce back. They need this win. I think they're going to play hard. They're going to play tough. They're going to play determined. They're going to play very gritty. I think you got to give the Falcons the benefit of the doubt here, and that last week was just an outlier, that this week they'll be in the end zone as much as possible. To recap, I've got Green Bay over Minnesota. I've got Pittsburgh over Kansas City. I've got Seattle on the road against Chicago, and I've got Atlanta at home against Carolina. So that's going to do it for me this week. Appreciate everybody tuning in to Sports Club here on Impact Media. I am Jeremy the Impact York. We will see you guys next week. Hopefully, Coach Reggie and Cody will be back. And thanks to Blog Talk Radio, Impact Media, and listeners such as you guys. It has begun. The NFL season is here, and we will see you guys next week. Go Falcons. Yeah, yeah, get it now. Yeah, yeah. Get it now. Yeah, yeah.
back it up. I got them shaking their boobies like Congo, man. I'm shaking the city like Quake. The haters blow in the face like John Doe. I'm drinking the cake, so let's bake. I'm taking the game, the game's mine. Y'all witness the change, it's my time. Yeah, I'm new to the game, but y'all might wanna say you whack rap, stay light, save your time.
Missed it by that much.